Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into the NFL Combine, all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Joe, we've talked a lot about Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, this draft class. One thing that's been interesting is, all right, so maybe some people around the league don't view them, don't view this draft class at quarterback in general as highly as they have some other ones here in recent memory. But one of the things I've wondered is, okay, what exactly does that mean? Like, how exactly do you view a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders as it compares to quarterbacks we've seen taken recently? And they've done this at ESPN.com. Matt Miller put this together, and I'll just kind of give you the stipulations that he's put in here. So it goes back to 2020, and we're talking quarterbacks, 19 quarterbacks that have been taken in the first round from 2020 through 2024. And where exactly do Ward and Sanders fall into that mix? Well, at number one on the list is Caleb Williams, who was taken last year by the Bears. You got Lawrence at two, and Burrow at three. And again, these are all like pre-draft grades and scouts, and it has nothing to do with what they've actually done in their NFL career to this point. It's just the pre-draft process. They've got Caleb Williams at one, Trevor Lawrence at two, Joe Burrow at three. So one of the things I wondered, like, when you get into this thing and you go 19 down into it, how far down do you have to get before you get to Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders? Well, I kept scrolling and scrolling, and eventually I got to number 18, which is where Cam Ward slots in, which is one behind Bo Nix from last year and one in front of Michael Penix from last year where he was drafted. Shedeur Sanders coming in at number 20 on this list. The only one that's below Sanders on this list that Matt Miller put together, unsurprisingly, is Kenny Pickett, who was drafted in the first round of 2022 of a quarterback class that, as we've discussed many times, was terrible and not very good. So that's where Matt Miller has these guys after talking to NFL scouts on his list of the 19 quarterbacks that have been drafted in round one from 2020 to 2024. You slot in these two, so that's 21 total. You've got Ward at 18, and you've got Shedeur Sanders at number 20. So with that information in the background, Joe, how do you view how those two guys stack up to recent first-round quarterbacks that we've seen?
I think that's a little bit of a sobering splash of cold water for Titans fans. Because, look, I just see where things are going, which is, again, you kind of look around the veteran movement. Right now, it doesn't necessarily look like the Titans are going to end up with anyone very good. So you get to, well, who the heck is playing quarterback? You have the top pick. Tank the top quarterback. I think this is another reminder. And I haven't changed. I'm not changing. I'm not taking either of these guys with the top pick. If I were, I would take Shedeur Sanders. That's just me. Maybe it's the little Deion on my shoulder. Hey, he's not very good, but I'm Deion. So all the evaluators, all the teams, it's just like Deion. It's forcing everyone to somehow like over evaluate him. But in all seriousness, I'm not doing it. I'm taking Travis Hunter, frankly, if I have to stick and pick and it's easy and I run to the podium and I'm happy as hell with that, but that's just me. I also get that next year, the idea, if you're a Titans fan, of not having a rookie quarterback to be excited about, not having this potential that you finally got it right. I get that. It sounds terrible. Will Levis, it's not appealing right now for Titans fans, and no. I understand it. Mac Wilson, not appealing for Titans fans.
Mac Jones.
Oh, who the heck is Mac Wilson?
A combo of Zach Wilson and Mac Jones.
Oh, my God.
What a combo that would be.
Mac Wilson and Zach Jones. Would you like either of them? Holy good stuff.
By the way, both of those guys are on this list.
Apparently, I have an hour of show left that I have in me, and then my brain falls apart. Where are those guys on the list?
Well, so that's another point to bring up here of this list. It is interesting, and I do think it kind of shows you that just because quarterbacks at times are ranked where they are and thought of a certain way heading into the draft
does not ultimately mean
that's how they end up
sure.
in the NFL. Like, for instance, you know, number two on this list is Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence was can't miss coming out, right? And he's been okay in Jacksonville. He's not been great. Joe Burrow's at number three. He's been great. Jaden Daniels is at number four. He had a great rookie year. But you go down this list, like, Zach Wilson comes in at number nine. That's ahead of C.J. Stroud. Like, I think we would all agree that C.J. Stroud in 2 years has been better than Zach Wilson ever approached being.
Just a little bit.
Just slightly better. You head down the list. Like, you've got Justin Fields at number 14. That didn't work out. Richardson at number 13. Trey Lance at number 12. Mac Jones at 15. Like, none of those guys have worked out. Jordan Love is at 16. He's worked out. So, Bo Nix at 17. It's been 1 year with Bo Nix, but he looked pretty good. So
absolutely.
It's not, you know, just because, you know, you're thought of in the pre-draft process a certain way does not necessarily correlate to on-field success in the NFL.
Right. And so, again, repeat this. In 3 years, Cam Ward is absolutely destroying the league. Would I be surprised? Yes. Would I be shocked? No. Because – we get it wrong all the time. Anybody who looks at these guys and thinks that they have any idea, because there's just so many variables that go into it, including just like how someone is living once they get into the NFL. And, of course, how much support, what kind of support they have in so many different fronts. That's always underrated, and the quarterback is always given too much credit or blame.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the more you look at quarterbacks and where they're drafted, and how that correlates to the success of their careers. Like, I'm just – the more and more I look at it, Joe, the more I'm convinced that it's just a total crapshoot, you know? Like, you get your generational guys. Like, quite frankly, it's a little bit surprising to me that Caleb Williams is number one on this list. Like, I would probably have said either Lawrence or Burrow.
Me too.
Like,
Burrow,
I felt like coming out was can't miss. Now, he had maybe the greatest college football season of all time. And it's worked out for him very nicely.
He also was on maybe the best team of all.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, look, I would have told you coming out that Trevor Lawrence is can't miss. And he hasn't been that in the NFL. You know, we'll see. I think, you know, Drake May is number five on this list. We'll see what he ultimately ends up living up to. Tua is at number six. I would have told you coming out that Tua was probably can't miss too. Now, he's had a lot of injury problems, which have also affected that.
But, yeah, he hasn't been as good.
Exactly. So, it's just interesting – at quarterback, how much situation matters, which I think situation is a big part of this. How much, like, even some guys that are incredibly talented in the pre-draft process just don't work in the NFL. And then there's a guy, you know, I brought up Bo Nix. Bo Nix, I remember Denver taking him at 12 last year and thinking, what are they doing?
Right.
Like, why are you taking Bo Nix
at
number 12?
I thought it was terrible.
And again, it's 1 year. Like, Bo Nix may come out next year and be awful. I have no idea. He looked pretty darn good this year. Looked like they knew what they were doing. So it's interesting to me how much of a crapshoot this ends up being at the quarterback, which I understand if you're a Titans fan hearing that and saying, well, take your shot then at number one.
Yeah, right. I mean, that is – you can flip it around on that and definitely make that case. I get that. I mean, because you're just – you can be certain and you can be wrong. You can be certain either way. Yes. There are some people who have actually, like for me at least, you know, like it's actually what I thought would happen. You know, Burrow, I was like, man, that guy's the dude, and he has been. Peyton Manning, yes, right? That worked out, Ryan Leaf did not.
Did not.
I mean, there are some that guys who, and it's funny too, even like, you know, like Justin Herbert, who has a lot to prove still in terms of the playoffs and all that stuff. He's a guy who was very polarizing coming
out. Yes.
It was not like, oh, yeah, there was somebody like, he has a lot of talent. That people were like, yeah, but look at how he performed. And, this, you know, a lot of people thought he was going to be a bust. I mean, I'd take him now, even though it hasn't, you know, totally gone the way you want. Well, I'd take him.
And the thing is, like, I went through all those examples of maybe things working out a little bit differently so far in the league than you thought with some of these guys. And there are some that work out exactly what you think, right? Like Burrow's one of them on the positive side. And then you go all the way to the bottom, and there's Kenny Pickett, right? And there's a reason that a quarterback in that draft didn't go to number 20 overall, and Pickett comes in at number 21 on this list. You know, all due respect to him in the Super Bowl that he just won with the Philadelphia Eagles as the backup quarterback. But, like, he has worked out, I think, how a lot of people feared of, yeah, I just don't think he's very good, and he ended up being the first quarterback taking that draft.
Right. And so there's a little bit of that, not to that extent, but it's closer to that this year than the other years where there's actually super high level of excitement with the top two quarterbacks or top quarterback or top however many.
So how do where Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders stack up with recent first round picks, according to ESPN.com? Does that influence what you think the Titans should do at quarterback at number one? When you look at how quarterbacks and the drafting of those quarterbacks in the first round have gone on and what a crapshoot it's been, do you say just take your shot if you're the Titans? How do you view all that? We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Taking your reaction to Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and where they stack up among recent first-round picks at the quarterback position. ESPN.com put this together. Matt Miller, he talked to scouts and some personnel people and went through basically the pre-draft process of these quarterbacks and then stacked Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. Of the 21 quarterbacks, so you've got 19 who have been drafted in the first round since 2020. And then you add Sanders and Ward, so that's 21 in total. So Ward comes in at number 18 on this list. Shedeur Sanders is at number 20. So only one person lower than Sanders on the list is Kenny Pickett at 21. And Ward right there at 18. But again, I went through the list. Like some of those guys, like Jordan Love is at 16. He's worked out pretty nicely for the Packers. Trevor Lawrence is at 2. He's worked out okay for Jacksonville, but certainly has not lived up to the hype heading into it. You got Justin Fields, who's not worked out to this point. Mac Jones on the list, which has not worked out to this point. So it does kind of feel like a crapshoot at the quarterback position. And, you know, people on the YouTube chat talking about how, like, so it's kind of amazing how flawed the quarterback process is. Richard on the YouTube chat talks about that. I just think it's a really hard thing to identify at the next level of what are the qualities that make NFL quarterback play, what are the most important qualities that translate from college football to the NFL? How important is the situation that you're drafted in? You know, there's a lot of things that go into playing that position. And it, like, for instance, like I still think Justin Fields has good ability, good talent level, right? It just hasn't worked at the NFL level. So how much of that is just he's not good enough, he's not consistently accurate enough? How much of that is he was drafted by the Chicago Bears to start his career? Like, I'm sure it's a little bit of both, right? Like, there's so much nuance that goes into what makes a quarterback succeed or fail at the NFL level.
Yeah, there are talked about some of these people through my life that I was so certain would be great in this league and weren't. Yeah, like Bo, you know, maybe Bo Nix becomes this guy. Like, there was just no reason. Who else would be like a Bo Nix? Well, I mean, obviously, Tommy, you know, the one of the funniest fan base things in college football is Michigan fans and Tom Brady, because, of course, now it's like, oh, our champion coming home. They couldn't have hated that guy more or wanted him off the field more as a college quarterback. Get off the field. Drew Henson is a pro.
Yep.
You are an old fifth-year senior who will never play a down in the NFL. You're not good enough. Drew Henson has a cannon arm. Get off the field. Got booed. They lost a game to Syracuse. He got booed off the field at Michigan Stadium. And now, Tom Brady. No one had any clue. And he's the GOAT, right? Is he not the GOAT?
Oh, he's GOAT.
He's the GOAT. So there's a great example the other way of, like, obviously, the pictures of him at the combine looks like me right now with my shirt off. Okay, well, it's not that bad. But you know what I'm saying. And what's he do? He comes in. Is it because – so how does that happen? I mean, I know it's like it's almost cliche to talk about it because it's so ridiculous. But, like, how does Brock Purdy happen? Where these guys are such afterthoughts because they don't – they don't have physical characteristics that are that special. But why didn't you notice how special they were mentally? I think with Brady, I'll tell you, it's part of it is because the head coach, Lloyd Carr, was like, yeah, I got to put this super talented kid out there half the game
right
when he's a senior. And so people are like, well, why if he's that good, then why would you do that, right? Brock Purdy, I don't know. He was great at Iowa State. But he was at Iowa State, Like, how do things like that happen? And then so many of these guys. So these are 19 quarterbacks you have, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how many of them have actually been as hoped? Burrow?
Burrow has been as hoped. I mean, we'll see on Williams. I don't know. Daniels is number 4 on the list.
I'll give him a yes, even though it's 1 year, and I'll give Stroud a yes.
Right. Even Stroud comes in at 10.
Right, but what I'm saying
you're
is –
you're just saying it have worked out.
I'm just saying like have been like – I mean, you take any quarterback in the first round, you hope they're great.
I mean,
right?
Herbert's on here. He's at 7. I guess you would say yes, even though like at some point you got to win something. But like,
right. So it's a tenuous 4 for 9. So basically it's a tenuous less than 20%.
Yeah.
Again, but that is a consistent thing. 80% chance you're not going to be happy. So that's where I keep coming back to. Look, at some point, I mean, you have to address the quarterback position when you don't have a quarterback. But you go number one with this guy or either of these guys, 80% chance. And again, that's 80% like that. It's terrible.
Well, again, like I don't think you should make your decisions this way. But I do think it's a natural thing to wonder if you're in that front office or if you're a Titans fan of, like, what makes more sense here? Particularly if, like, Rodgers goes elsewhere and Darnold goes elsewhere and you're looking at the veteran market right now and you're just not enamored with it. What makes more sense? Is it to, take a shot with one of these veteran guys for a year and see if you can have some level of stability at the quarterback position? Or is it throwing your name in the hat here and going with the crapshoot and hoping it works out for you, right? Like, look, I think there's a base level of ability you have to think these guys have if you're going to draft them. So there's that. Like, Bryce Young's at number 8 on this list. Like, there's a baseline of ability that you think these guys have to have if you're going to draft them. But I just wonder, like, if you're Mike Borgonzi, you're the Titans, and you're taking a look at this, what makes more sense? Going out and getting one of these veteran guys – or hoping that you're the next example of drafting one of these kids in the first round, and this one ends up being the one that works out for you. We see it work out sometimes, we see it not. As you mentioned, you go through this list, and it basically, to this point in their careers, is a pretty small hit rate at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I think that's going to be consistent through the sands of the hourglass, through time. Until this league and this world no longer exists, I think that's going to be true. Now, this is where this week's important. With Cam Ward, like, the film is the film. I do think it's hilarious, by the way. Someone pointed this out. I don't remember whose tweet it was, but, Cam Ward's like, man, I'm not going to throw. He gave a quote to somebody. He's like, the film speaks for itself, but I will throw it pro day. Yes. Well, the film speaks for itself. Why even bother throwing it pro day? But I think this week's important with him in the building. Titans have seen the film. They've dissected every single snap. So then it's, okay, so let's talk through all these things, And maybe they absolutely love the guy or Sanders. And it's just like, okay, you got to feel absolutely great about that. And if they do it, I don't think it's like a disastrous, terrible move. I just personally think this piece that what we're talking about here helps remind us, like, it's more of a reach than it often is at the top of a draft for a quarterback. What it is.
It's very difficult to find that match. When you find it, it's great. I mean, it transforms your franchise. It's a very difficult thing to find. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the quarterback front. Plus, the moves have begun for the Nashville Predators as it relates to the NHL trading deadline. We'll get you caught up on that and look ahead to what more could be coming this week. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal from Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. Brewster's offers handcrafted cakes, pies, and ice cream flavors of peppermint Oreo, eggnog, gingerbread. Man, enjoy the magic of homemade happiness this season. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Gingerbread man ice cream sounds fun.
It does.
Might do that.
Yes. Although I'm giving up sweets for Lent, so I just want you to know. Yes. It's good for me.
Working out, doing a lot of things.
Like I know. It's about time. Mike in Lebanon here says, do we know what QBs will be available in next year's draft? That is I'm glad. I just want to quickly hit that because that is part of the discussion too, right? Little bit. I mean, I saw someone say, all right, do another year of Levis and let's, we'll take all the memes and all the hits and get the QB next year.
Sir Brian Callahan be really excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, he loves that idea. The problem is for next year, again, some people thought Nico might be high. Is he? I mean, he's going to have to take a huge step or two at quarterback to be that guy. Is Arch Manning? I don't know if he's that good, and there's talk that they already want him to not be in next year's draft anyway.
Yep.
Which would be great for Texas if he's both great and they're committed to him staying. Obviously, there's no pressing financial need for him to come into the NFL. And, I'm sure Texas pays very well. So, okay, Carson Beck?
Aller?
Yeah, Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller is – I'm glad you said him because that's definitely the guy a lot of people look at and say, okay, as soon as it all comes together, he's got the traits. I agree he has the traits. Will he be great? Is he going to be great in college next year? Is he going to be a clear-cut top 10 quarterback type guy in next year's draft? At this point, that's taking a leap too. So I would not – things are going to happen. There's going to be some guys who get a lot better next year and kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, like Jaden Daniels and actually Joe Burrow, both of them going into their last year at LSU were not expected to be what they were in the draft, and then they were, right? So there will be guys who emerge, but at this point, there's no one you can point to like you could with Caleb Williams and Drake May, for example.
No, like there's always somebody that comes out of nowhere, right? Like that typically happens. Like I don't know. Like I think Lenore Sellers is draft eligible after next year. Like, does he have an unbelievable year for South Carolina, despite who his head coach is, and he's available for draft next year, and you think, my goodness, like Lenore Sellers is unreal. Like the way he played the last half of this year, it was crazy how good he was. Mm-hmm. So like could he be a guy?
Yeah. Sure.
Could he be a guy? Like there's gonna be some guys that maybe we're not talking about right now that emerge next year. But to your point, I think everybody's just assuming that like Arch Manning's going to come out of the draft next year and be available, and I would be surprised if he does. Like, just knowing how that family in particular has operated, I think he's going to stay all 4 years at Texas, and then he'll come out, and we'll see.
Right, and I have no idea if he's going to be a starting NFL quarterback.
Right,
that's not a sure thing whatsoever, but so many people are convinced. We'll see. I mean, every snap of Arch Manning this year is going to be fascinating, but I just right now it's too early to tell what he's going to be. Dustin from Hopkinsville is big on taking Will Howard late in this draft. And Will Howard is one of those guys who I like him. Obviously, he helped himself, you would think, in the playoff. He didn't help himself in a lot of the regular season.
Didn't go very well for him at the combine the other day.
Is that right? I didn't see it. What did he do?
He was inaccurate. He missed some passes out there.
Did he?
To the point where I think Shador Sanders had to tweet about it.
What?
Shador Sanders is like, I don't understand all these people getting all over Will Howard. He won a national championship. It's hard to throw to receivers you'd never thrown to before.
Which is why I didn't throw, period, by the way.
But it was like Shador Sanders, quote,
yeah.
I understand y'all hating on Will Howard. He just won an Natty. Hard to throw to wide receivers that you don't know. Everyone runs routes differently.
Good Shador for
Sanders
him.
Sticking up for his guy.
For defending him. I thought for a minute you were going to tell me Shador was like, man, Will Howard
this
is buns. Is Will Howard buns or what? You guys watching this crap? Oh, that's good to know.
Good to know.
Good job. Way to defend him.
The NHL trading deadline, the moves have started to roll in around the league. Kind of kicked off on Saturday By a couple of things. Number one, Juuso Parsonen traded from the Avalanche to the Rangers. He made his Rangers debut against the Preds last night. So him and Colt Sissons got after each other a couple of times. That was fun. But Gus Nyquist traded from Nashville to Minnesota. He goes back to the Wild, where he was in 2023. Preds end up getting a second-round pick out of that in 2026. Now, they do have to retain half of Nyquist's contract for the rest of this year. That contract expires at the end of this season, so it's not a huge deal. But
worthwhile.
Look, I'll be honest with you. When I saw that the return was a second-rounder for Nyquist, I realized that they're retaining some of his contract. I had to double-check. I thought, I was like, is this real? But it is. I think that's a great move for the Predators. I thought they were going to get like a fourth-round pick for Gus Nyquist. So the fact that they got a second-rounder, albeit in 2026, but a second-rounder, I think it's a great job by Barry Trotz.
Yeah, and more than I would have guessed. It's also, you know, it's one of those interesting things like, wow, so the coach of the Wild – ready for a big playoff push.
Yep.
Whoever that is, I forget who it is.
Yeah, same here.
Now taking Reynolds off the Preds to
go make
a play. To go make a play. Yeah. I thought that's weird. I thought that guy didn't know anything about hockey. Couldn't coach at all.
I don't know.
Is that some analysis that I seem to remember from the past? I don't know. But no, I'm with you. We all kind of knew Nyquist was a gimme.
Yeah.
Lock to be somewhere else, and it's a pretty good return. They've got picks.
They do. They got a lot of picks over the next couple of years, which is not a bad thing. Like, I know the hockey draft, it's not the same as talking about the NFL draft. Like, a lot of times when you pick these players, it's a long way off before they make tangible impacts on your team. I think it's great to have the picks from the standpoint of you can use them and stick and pick, and maybe a few years down the road your pipeline is really, really good. Or you can have a lot of trade assets that you can go attack the offseason with to have in your back pocket. I mean, they got 3 first-round picks coming up this year. So what else are they going to get this week, I guess, is now the big question. Like, is McCarron on the move? Is Luke Shen on the move? I doubt this one very seriously, but, like, does somebody make an offer for Ryan O'Reilly that Barry Trotz just can't refuse? Like, what does that end up looking like? So, I mean, look, there have been people that have thrown the idea out there that with the right team, could the Predators get like a second-round pick for Michael McCarron? I still have my doubts about that, but if so, knock yourself out, man. I'd be looking around if I'm Barry Trotz this week.
I mean, they have had some surprisingly good returns for some guys in recent years.
I think it's all about what the other team's looking for, right? Like, look, the Predators, if memory serves me correctly, gave up a first-round pick for Paul Gostad one time.
Hmm.
And, like, Paul Gostad was a very good face-off guy and could kill penalties. But Paul Gostad sometimes didn't even approach being in the offensive zone. And when he did, he's not going to do much when he gets there. But you gave a first-round pick for it. But the market dictated that year that that's what you had to get to go get it, right? Like, so, like, I'm interested to see, you know, the idea of Michael McCarron fetching a second-round pick. Again, I think it's laughable to some people, but it just depends on what that team is looking for, and is there a bidding war that ends up happening because of it?
Well, and the Preds have been on the other end of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Of giving too much for
Ryan Hartman.
I mean, yeah, Hartman's up. That was a first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a first. I mean, that's when you feel like you're that close, you do things like that.
Exactly. Like, you're more willing to be a little more loose with your picks at that point if that's what you do. And look, you know, we talk about the draft around here this year because the Predators right now are on pace to get a high pick. And I think there are some intriguing options with the high picks this year in the draft. By and large, it's not a very strong draft based on everybody you talk to. So because of that, number one, are teams more willing to give up picks this year because they don't think it's a strong draft? And number two, if you're a team like the Predators that's doing the selling, do you want picks for next year's draft, like they just got from Nyquist? It's like, yeah, give me more of those. We'll take next year's draft. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they view that.
Yeah, bottom line, good return. And, you know, someone on the text line's like, you guys got to talk about, you know, they got to fire Brunette right now. I mean, it's, you know.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. There's no point in doing that. Why would you do that? Like, what's the benefit?
It's 20
like,
games.
It is a 20-game slog to the end. Oh, we got a big boost of energy to still not make the playoffs? No.
Yeah, like if I had to guess right now, He's probably not going to be the coach next year. That's just the way that's where I come down on it. He's probably not going to be the head coach when next year begins. But I just don't know what that serves now to do that. So we'll see. We'll see how things end up going this week. Going to be an interesting week on the trade front to see what else could be out there for the Predators. We'll have the rant coming up next. Quite frankly, I don't know who's ranting. Is it me or is it you?
I have options. I think I have a rant now.
Okay. We'll get into Rex Road's rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Is there an option that won't make Titans fans, what I put in the grid, run face first into a tree out there for the veteran quarterback market? You got some golf on the TV, which has fired Joe up in the break.
Oh, yeah. More polyester pants. Tally-ho!
But yeah, let's go to the Mall of America.
Yeah, there you go. I'll get you one of those crumble cookies.
It is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Okay, I got a text triggered me. Thank you, texter. You triggered me. Let's see.
Been known to happen on this text line.
Give me your name. I want your name, texter. Wait a minute. Uh-oh. I got to make sure. Let me read the number. Nope, it's not Big Joe. Okay.
That's good.
Frankly, Big Joe usually puts, you know, names on there that would get me fired if I read the whole name and then says stuff like, oh, you just work for the Titans or whatever to get me all, you know.
It usually works.
The homer. I know. But here's what the texter said just a couple minutes ago. Joe, now that Shedeur Sanders' stock went down at the combine, according to multiple sources, are you willing to admit that it would have been better for him to throw and maybe show that he has the talent to play well at the next level? Obviously, just talking didn't help. Guys, throwing at the combine would have shown he has the talent to play well at the next level. Again, going out there on an empty field, except for some cones and some guys you've never thrown to, throwing the ball around. I understand that the NFL and the NFL Network, they need everything they can, especially anything that looks a little bit like football, to help them make it a television program. Okay. And obviously quarterbacks throwing the football, but that's part of the job. There's not a person in the history of the NFL who has said, I'm not sure this guy has the talent to play in this league, but let's see how he throws in this situation. Then I'll know. I mean, that's why most of them don't throw. So I don't know about the Sanders stock. I mean, honestly, I haven't heard that. I've looked around. I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do we know the stock has gone down?
Yeah. I mean, there is. So there's some people that have said that I have never heard of, and frankly, then I'm just not going to. I mean, there's a million NFL people who cover the NFL. We have the best NFL reporter on this show every week.
We'll ask him Thursday.
But this is Yahoo, by the way, discussing this. So actually, this is Charles was in a podcast talking about smoke about this, and what he said was, remember Drake May. So we'll ask Charles about this week. But he said, remember Drake May, because last year that was all the talk. Drake May's stock has fallen. And then what happened
then
on draft night?
He went
number three. Now, you know, Will Levis's stock did drop. So did Shedeur Sanders hurt himself in some interviews and some teams are saying that? I mean, it's possible. Also, is it possible that what happened to Levis might happen to him? Because if you remember what happened to Levis, now – some people believe that this was an agent of another prospect trying to screw him up. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that things were incredibly exaggerated on the character, personality front, and that just there was nothing to it. He took a bag of chips, right? Take a bag of chips, like the guy who played Kramer in Seinfeld. The guy, when they did the Seinfeld show on Seinfeld, which was, I forget what it was called, Jerry or something. You know what I'm saying? First of all, we don't have confirmation or even anything close to it that is quote-unquote stock drop. Second of all, no. If I'm his agent, like I've said before, he is an accurate quarterback who can make the throws. He does not have a huge cannon arm. The only way I'm throwing at that combine is if I can go out there and honestly do things like
Zach Wilson?
Like Jamarcus Russell did. Zach Wilson did. If I want to throw for people, I'm going to go to my pro day. I'm going to throw to my receivers where I know we have timing down, and I'm going to look way better because of it. If I'm going to throw in front of people, that's what I'm going to do. If I'm an agent, that's what I tell people to do. So those guys didn't throw. We just have to get used to this, guys. Like, it's what it's going to be. It's like, why am I going to this unfamiliar situation when it's on NFL Network and there's way more pressure on some stupid drill like this anyway than there should be? And is it really going to help me? It's only going to hurt. The chances of it hurting you are way higher than it helping you. Again, unless you're Jamarcus Russell and you throw 80 yards on your knees and everybody's gaga about it, then, of course, that means nothing.
Right. I mean, I think you got to be real careful this time of year of stock rising and falling and the conversations around that.
Very.
Some of that comes from, you know, reputable NFL sources. But some of it, you know, oftentimes comes from teams posturing with each other and trying to position themselves the best they can for the draft. It's lying season. That's talked about a lot. Look, you're going to hear a lot leading up to the draft about, and Titans are probably going to be centered in a lot of it, right? Like, I'd be stunned if they don't come out of this week with Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward meeting with them at the facility, and some of the conversation now there is, man, the Titans say they really love Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, did they actually really love Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders? Or are they saying that to get people to think that they'll draft them so they'll move up and trade with them? Like, you got to be real careful with what you disseminate as real information this time of year.
Yes. So, exactly. Yeah, all rise, fall can be total BS. I think Shedeur Sanders could be a guy who sits a little bit longer than some people think. I could see that. I could see Ward. I think Ward's clearly the top. And I get it. Again, I'm taking Sanders if I have to take one of them. But I get why Ward would be the number one prospect. He can do some things that Sanders can't do, that a lot of people can't do, and that is very appealing. I mean,
sure,
if you can harness that, then that's very appealing. But I don't think we're going to see him, you know, falling too far. Texter responds, give me your name, Texter. That's a fair point. It might not have shown he has the talent to play the next level, but he's not a surefire hit, and those types of guys probably throw, in my opinion. Yes, and appreciates me for not going full nuclear double down. Yeah, I'm not like too mad at you. I'm not like mad at you like I am when Big Joe almost makes me say things that would get the station taken off the air for a day. But it's just, yeah, I will never agree with the idea that throwing at the combine is some huge help to you. Again, unless, like, did Joe Milton throw the combine?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah. And so it's like, holy cow. Okay. Well,
that's somebody I would advise to throw at the combine.
Yeah. Like,
Joe Milton,
if you can do things throwing the football, but this is all about the film with pass rush coming at you, with coverages to read, with receivers running routes, choice routes, and you're on the same page and making plays. It's playing football. What it is.
We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us coming up next. Get his thoughts on the Titans and the NFL Combine. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.